Welcome to Hickory Hills Presbyterian Church. It is a beautiful day today. Sun is shining, finally. I would like to welcome our guest preacher this morning. This is Kathleen McKenzie. Kathleen is a graduate of McCormick Theological Seminary and a candidate for the Ministry of Word and Sacrament under care of the Presbytery of Philadelphia. So welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you. It is a blessing to be here with you today. And now let us continue our worship as we go further into the Word of God with the New Testament lesson from Acts 4, 5 through 12, which can be found on page 887 of your pew Bibles. Listen for God's Word. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Our epistle lesson is from 1 John 3, 16 through 24. This can be found on page 990 of your pew Bibles. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did any of you listen to the speeches made by student survivors of the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida? Emma Gonzalez's speech immediately went viral and continues to circulate on social media, as do ongoing attacks on her character. But the speech that hit me the hardest was made by Lorenzo Prado, a junior who hid in the sound booth of the school auditorium, where he was spotted and mistaken for the shooter. When he emerged from hiding, he came face to face with the guns of 6 SWAT team members who threw him to the ground, cuffed him, and placed him under guard. He not only felt fear for his future, but also guilt for the coach he failed to save, for wasting rescuers' time, and for not calling his mother. I wonder what John and Peter were feeling as they stood before the Sanhedrin, the entire priestly family, past and present. Fear? Guilt? Keep in mind that this is the same Peter who denied even knowing Jesus not too long ago. Was there a touch of irony in their voices when they asked, "So, are we here because of a good deed done to someone who was sick? Really?" They were referring, of course, to what had happened the day before at the temple gates. They encountered a man who had been lame from birth. They told him to stand up and walk, and he did. But the real issue, the reason they were arrested, spent the night in prison, and were brought before the council, was that Peter proclaimed to all who were gathered at the temple that they healed the man in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He reiterates this claim now, making sure the religious leaders understand that this is the same Jesus they crucified, but God raised from the dead. Now, this is a bold claim, one that contradicts long-held beliefs and signals a break from the past. The Jews did not believe in resurrection because it was not part of the ancient Torah. But isn't resurrection what Easter is all about? Lorenzo Prado concluded his speech with equally bold words. "The law has failed us and has led to the events that happened in Parkland. What we must do now is enact change, because that is what we do when things fail. We change them." I am not here today to discuss the relationship between law and grace or to promote reasonable gun laws, although those are both worthy conversations for another time. But I do want to talk a bit about change. From what I understand, you as a congregation have been through a fair amount of change over the past year, maybe over the past several years, with more on the way. This year has been one of political and social upheaval as well. And sadly, many of us now find ourselves more afraid, more guilt-ridden, and more disconnected from ourselves, others, and God than ever before. But this too can change. In her new book, Braving the Wilderness, social scientist Brené Brown makes a connection between true belonging and courage. She writes, "True belonging is not passive. It's not the belonging that comes with just joining a group. It's not fitting in or pretending or selling out because it's easier. It's a practice that requires us to be vulnerable, get uncomfortable, and learn how to be present with people without sacrificing who we are. We want true belonging, but it takes tremendous courage to knowingly walk into hard moments, like Lorenzo Prado did, like John and Peter did. This wasn't something they chose to do, it was something they had to do. They were probably groggy from a sleepless night, their mouths may have felt dry, and their stomachs a bit queasy. After all, their lives had just been changed forever, and they were moving into a completely new reality. But they did it anyhow. There is a newness surrounding our lives as well. After all, this is only the fourth Sunday of Easter. We are still learning what it means to live the great reversal of the resurrection. Will we do it anyhow? As Presbyterian Christians, we affirm the words of a brief statement of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. This morning's epistle, written to a church dealing with the stresses of both external and internal change, emphasizes that belonging to God means more than just being part of a religious community. It means more than adhering to certain beliefs or refraining from certain behaviors. True belonging is a gift from God, which can never be lost or destroyed. How will we respond? Knowing that we are unconditionally loved by God gives us the courage to step outside our comfort zones, tell the truth, and take action. What might this look like in our everyday lives? Where are the hard places to which God is calling you? This is the question we must ask ourselves over and over again. Hard moments for individuals might include taking responsibility for having hurt someone, even if you didn't mean to. Seeking help for an addiction. Expressing an unpopular opinion. Or naming a hidden part of oneself. Congregations often experience hard moments around building and budget discussions, taking a public stand on social issues, welcoming people with mental illnesses, or retiring cherished traditions. If the thought of walking into these or any other hard moments makes your mouth feel dry and your stomach feel queasy, remember that you will not be going there alone. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when he answered to the Sanhedrin. I'm pretty sure the Spirit was also with Lorenzo Prado. And this same Spirit has been given to us. Again, in the words of a brief statement of faith, in a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. We are called to proclaim in both word and deed, even at great cost, that the name of Jesus, which brought healing to a lame man, is powerful enough to bring wholeness and unity to our lives, to our communities, and to a broken and fearful world. Now, this is a bold claim. It goes against much of what we see, hear, and experience on a daily basis. It challenges our fear and guilt. It defies much of what others have told us and what we have told ourselves. This is a resurrection claim. So go boldly to whatever place God is calling you. The risen Christ is waiting for you there. Amen. And now, friends, I charge you, as you leave this place, wherever you may go, Go boldly. Remember who and whose you are, and know that you do not go alone. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the saints be with you now and forever. Amen.